Hello and welcome to the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast, where your hosts,
Hannah
and Brandy, try and help each other navigate the big messy gray area of giving a shit about the planet, and hopefully helping you along the way.
Each episode, we have honest chats about our sustainability fails, sometimes amongst ourselves and sometimes with guests, while also leaving you with a little sprinkle of hope and inspiration to keep on giving a shit.
So, go make yourself a cup of tea, get comfy, and let's dive into the episode.
Hello, give a shitters. This is Hannah.
And this is Brandy.
And you are listening to episode number 5 of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
And we are coming to you from the past.
But to discuss the new things? That
doesn't make sense. Every episode's from the past.
No, but we're literally in the past. We're doing our lovely New Year's episode, and you'll be listening in a brand new 2022 with, that feels really weird to say, 2022. It still feels like 2020, right?
Yeah. I was listening to another podcast and they were like, yeah, I'm still processing 2020. And here I am in an episode about 2022.
Yeah.
It seems wrong.
Really weird.
It seems just really incorrect.
Yeah, for sure. But that's how life works. We're doing it anyway. And yeah, so today is you'll be listening to this in the new year, hopefully full of like all the holiday goodness and ready to, you know, come afresh to new things. This is terrible. You can see Brandon's face right now and she's like, Hannah, stop talking.
No, I was doing the annoying thing where I was thinking about what I wanted to say next, which is a bad thing to do in conversations, but it's, the pressure is real when you're recording. You're like, wait, what am I saying next?
And I never do that, which is why some of what I say sounds really weird.
But hopefully this episode's coming to you mid-January, like we said it would be, if you listened to our last episode. And at time of recording, I'm in the process of transferring the website. So hopefully everything will be sorted by the time you listen to this.
Brand is our amazing podcast manager, podcast whiz, website person. If you need to do a podcast, hire her.
Thanks for the plug, Hannah. But yeah, I got fed up with the updates in WordPress and I'm moving to Squarespace. So the transfer is happening in the internet space in the invisible world of zeros and ones. I don't know how it works, but it's in progress. So hopefully it'll all be sorted. It'll look pretty much the same. So hopefully you're thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything's the same. Everything's fine. But if it's not, yeah. I'm working on it.
Yeah. And check it out. We have a little bit of information about me and Brandy and show notes and links to some of the stuff we talk about. So if you haven't looked at our website already, go and take a look.
Yes.
It's just, what's the website name, Brandy?
TheTeaOnSustainableLiving.com.
Easy to remember.
Very easy.
So yeah, go check it out and check out our show notes.
And yeah, links to all the things we talk about and things we don't talk about. So if you want to learn more about whatever the topic is. And yeah, so new year. Do you do New Year's resolutions?
No, not really. I think about it. I've occasionally done things like write a letter to yourself, like what do you want for the year, and then see how it works out at the end. Or I've done the things where I've more of like the word thing, you know, what's the word for your year? You know, is it growth? Is it happiness? Is it, I don't know, what are the other words people traditionally use, like flourishing? That sounded really sarcastic. It wasn't that sarcastic, but I've sometimes done that and then promptly forgot my words. So anytime I have set goals, they've not been particularly meaningful, or they haven't had an impact on my year. I can't be like, oh yeah, in 2017, I was like, I'm going to do this and I did it. That's just not how it's worked for me. What about you, Brandy?
No, I think maybe I've done it over the years just because that's the thing that you do. Ooh, I like your mug.
Thank you. It's a Gaudi mug.
Ooh, nice.
It looks like stained glass in theory. People.
There's not tea in that mug, right? You have coffee.
No, there is coffee, even though it's my turn to talk about the tea. So Brandy is holding the fort as always, and also a pretty mug.
It's a little bit faded, but it's a Alicante landscape.
Oh. Oh, nice. Look at us with our Spanish mugs. But yeah, I did research a tea this time and use it for a project. Would you like to hear more?
I would like to hear more.
Before we talk about our resolutions.
Yep.
So I just went to black tea, which is the base of most tea blends, other than, you know, green tea, or if you have herbal tea, which doesn't really contain tea. So it doesn't contain black tea. Did you choose a specific blend, Brandy?
The only black tea I have is Earl Grey.
Oh, nice.
Which apparently is fancy. I never thought about it until my boyfriend said, yeah, the name is Earl Grey, named after Earl. Like, oh, yeah, that is fancy. I'm fancy.
Yeah. So I decided to look up China because that's where tea traditionally comes from. It's now grown all over the world, but China is still, as far as I understand, a big producer of black tea and other types of tea. And lots of things we have come from China. Just a big producer in general.
Yep.
That's for another episode, I think. But So actually I was looking up I really like urban projects, I guess. I really love cities. So, and I think a lot of the future of sustainability or sustainable living needs to be around cities. That's my personal opinion, because most of the world's population live in cities. And so I had a look, and then one of the things that came up was an architectural project. I don't think it's unique to China, but one of the things, you know, you see them in other places. The project is called Nanjing Vertical Forest. My phone has helpfully autocorrected to virtual forest, but it is not in fact a virtual forest. It is a vertical forest. It's currently under construction. It's being planned. And so it's basically two tower blocks, which are, you know, are like green buildings. So they're being designed with a forest around. So I'm going to read you a little bit about it. And it's called, it should have 600 trees, tall trees, 500 medium-sized trees from 23 local species. So using native plants, and then 2,500 cascading plants and shrubs to cover the rest of the 6,000 square meter area. And their aim is to a real vertical forest that will help to regenerate local biodiversity, will provide a 25 tons of CO2 absorption each year, and will produce about 60 kilos of oxygen per day. I don't really know if those statistics are good, like how much CO2 is absorbed or how much oxygen is produced. But either way, it's better than most buildings.
So all of these plants and trees are just going to surround like a tall building, like residential, office, and then just it's trees and plants around it?
No, so it's like in balconies, or like the trees, that like they become part of the exterior of the building.
But from being on the balconies?
I think so. I'm not sure how they've integrated it. So the idea is like looking at, so I looked at the pictures of their plans and then where they are now. They haven't finished the building, but the idea is like the whole tower will look green, basically. Completely green.
Send me what pictures you have and I'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah, and I'll send you a link to the architect who designed it as well. So yeah, I think that's an interesting, you know, I'm not talking about a revolutionary project. I think it's something that's been looked into before, like integrating greenery into buildings, but kind of having that as a standard maybe for new things that are built to try and integrate more green life. And also it's just a lot more beautiful when you're in an urban space. And, you know, there's all sorts. I mean, this isn't that specific project, but I think I'll send you a link, Brandy, but there's all these like experiments where they show you like the temperature of like a street, like the concrete on a street without a tree, the temperature of a street underneath a tree, the temperature of a street like with grass, the temperature of grass under a tree, and the differences are crazy, like in temperature, and it's insane.
From living in Spain, yeah, the difference of walking in shade in the summer versus not is huge.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that project. The only thing I think about, it's weird. I like obviously I think there should be more trees and it's nice to look at, like walking through parks, all of that. But with all of those, I don't know, trees and plants surrounding the building, does that mean more like bugs and creatures will find their way into your apartment?
It's a good question on a practical level. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm like, oh, yay, biodiversity. But at the same time, you don't really want like a nest of bees living outside of your bedroom window.
Right. And then in your apartment.
And then in your apartment. You know, I think that is one of those questions. It's like, how do we build those relationships between humans and animals and the natural world? Because a lot of what we've done, right, is to avoid that for obvious mm-hmm. reasons. Like you don't really want, yeah, like a nest of bees or even just like, you know, some bird. Like you don't want to be, we don't want to share spaces with animals, basically. Mm-hmm. Or we're not used to sharing space with animals. And a lot of what we've done as humans in creating the spaces we live in is to create barriers for those animals. In some cases, very necessarily, right? We don't, like, there's a lot of dangerous animals out there. There's a lot of just unpleasant, annoying animals out there. Yes. But, like, how, you know, like...
Speaking of pleasant and annoying animals, my cat will not leave me alone. So if you hear any weird thumping or... chewing of cables, stop yeah. it.
And, and that's the other thing, right? Then we also, so we have those animals, that big long list of animals we want to keep out of our spaces, and then a very small privileged list of animals that we really want in our spaces.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we could definitely go off on a tangent here and
yeah this
make this, this a whole other episode actually. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we should definitely do that.
Can you hear that? You're cute, but it is not playtime. Stop it.
This is the good thing about when I used to go around to, right now we're recording over Zoom, but before when I go to Brandon's flat, and then her cat Reyes is like so scared of me that he would leave us alone for the filming. But I guess this is not, he's not scared of Brandy.
So much better at pronouncing his name than I am. I can't do the Spanish R.
I mean, I can't either.
That came up in my pronunciation class the other day. Anyway.
You're pronouncing your cat's name wrong.
Yep. My fault for naming him a Spanish word that starts with an R and I can't pronounce it. Oh, yeah, hello. What is your resolution right. for the new year, Reyes?
Yeah, Reyes. Tell us. What's his resolution?
Get more treats. Get a bigger serving of wet food in the morning.
You know, I feel like he's cute enough that he'll probably get there. Depends how disciplined you want to be. Mother Brandy.
Yeah, it's not something that he has much control over. But yeah, I've dabbled in the New Year's resolutions. Out of, I don't know, I guess maybe a sense of, not really a sense of obligation, but like, oh, everyone else is doing it. I have to have New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's pretty hard to avoid, you know, people ask, then, you know, you've got all the magazines, all the blog articles, everything pops up, and then you see the success stories, you're like, oh, so-and-so had this whatever thing, year of health, and they did this thing, or so-and-so, you know, I don't know, like, it is quite hard to avoid.
But I think it's silly. I think, I mean, I guess I understand that it is, you know, a set time and it's like a reminder in your calendar, like to, I don't know, work on something, a project you've been putting off, whether it's improving your health or finishing any sort of project at work or whatever it is. It is that designated time. Okay, it's January. Okay, what do I want to work on this year? But I find it the January 1st arbitrary. You can, you know, work on yourself or a project at any time of the year. And I feel like some people could even put it off. Well, put off making any sort of change. Sorry, Reyes is now chewing on my slipper. Still playtime, apparently. It can, I don't know. For me, I guess in the past, I felt like maybe it was a way to put things off. I don't need to work on this or that, whatever it is, because it's until not New Year's yet. Yeah, until in the New Year.
Interesting.
But then, it's just such an arbitrary date. You
nah. And also,
you want to make a change, start today.
Yeah, I also feel like it is kind of bad timing because at least in my family, I feel like January 1st, for most people, you're still pretty much in like the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of people's goals, not everyone's, but or a lot of the goals were encouraged to take a kind of quite like, often the goal is to beat ourselves up a little bit. It's like, okay, this year I'm going to lose like 30 kilos. This year I'm like going to like get up every day at like 6 a.m. And like write my novel and like all these things where you're like a little bit beating yourself up. You're like, if I was a better person, I would be this person that I'm setting the goal for. And it comes like slap bang right in the middle of like kind of a festive season where everyone's a bit more relaxed and like you're not in your normal routine yet. And then it's like, bam, January 1st, you've like gone and get like really drunk on New Year's Eve. And then it's like in the throes of a hangover, you're like, oh, if I were a better person, you know, like,
gotta quit drinking, gotta lose that holiday weight.
Right.
You don't.
And I remember. Yeah. No.
You don't really have to. If you want to, great. But I like what you said earlier. I think it was before we were recording about not setting something where it's taking away, but like adding. So instead of lose weight, okay, maybe eat more vegetables, focus on them more instead of do less of, you know, it's a bad habit here.
I think as well, I was talking with someone yesterday and they were talking about also doing things like things that's easy to put off, but like plans you always have, you know, as in like, okay, this year I am going to like go away for a weekend and this year I'm going to, you know, like things that are like additions to your life. Well, which is like what you're saying in terms of like, on multiple levels, they can also be like things that you really want to do. Like, oh, this year I really want to like go to this new place and go hiking.
Rather than get outside more is probably how I would approach that. Because for me, I struggle with just goal setting in general. I like setting general intentions, directions. Because if I'm too specific, I feel like I'm setting myself up for failure.
Yeah, and there's also that.
There's also a little bit of like a rebel in me. Gretchen Rubin wrote a book, The Four Tendencies. I'll link that below, but I have a tendency. I'm a questioner, but also sometimes a bit of a rebel. So just setting some kind of goal or a rule that I have to do or follow. It's like just the act of doing that makes me not want to do it. If that makes sense. Like, I don't want to do this thing. It's like, who are you to tell me to do this? Oh, wait, I was the who told me to do this.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Like, are you a goal setter in general? Like, how do you... And I guess you've just said, like, not really, right?
No. Like, yeah, and like I said, yeah, I think January 1st is an arbitrary time to start any new habit, goal, resolution, whatever it is. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but yeah, I just kind of do it throughout the year if I realize or recognize that there's something I want to change. And, like, I've been feeling a bit busy lately, so I know that once this little busy season is over, I want to prioritize rest, and that's not dependent on, you know, a date. Time.
I guess it is... True. I mean, like you already said before, it's kind of like a reminder. And I think that is true. I think we do get so busy in our day-to-day lives. A lot of us, I mean, some people are really good at it, but I think a lot of us struggle with, well, I struggle with kind of taking time to reflect. You know, I'd say I'm quite like a thoughtful person, and that's true. But like on like a long scale, like having that moment to sort of look back on the year and be like, okay, you know, this is what's happened and like kind of where do I see myself going and like what are my values at the moment, like what's driving me at the moment. So maybe in a way like having that inbuilt pause. But yes, it's a very arbitrary date, but how do we build that into our lives if we don't use those sort of like cultural handholds as a reminder? I don't know. But it's also interesting, I was just like hearing myself talk and I noticed it's like I was saying, like, what's driving you at the moment? This like feeling, and maybe this links to sustainability a bit. Like, how that was like a very much like this idea, just through the way I was expressing that, this idea that you have to be like moving forward or like changing, or that there's like somewhere you're supposed to be going. I mean, that's a very common idea. I don't think it's necessarily wrong. I do think we, you know, we have, of course, it's normal to have goals, but like maybe in some ways is that like a helpful way of framing our lives? You know, to have this drive to be like, oh, I'm moving towards this thing, or I want to achieve this. Don't know.
Hello, Give a Shitters, Brandy here. I just wanted to quickly interrupt this episode to tell you a little bit more about our show notes. Each episode has a dedicated show notes page on our website, the T on sustainableliving.com/show notes, where where you can find more information about the topic of the episode. In addition to links to any articles and resources mentioned in the episode, we throw in a few more ways for you to keep on giving a shit. From articles and documentaries to books and apps, we want each show notes page to help you feel better equipped with information and tools to take action today. You can think of it as a choose-your-own-give-a-shit adventure. We'll also update you on our chosen actionable item from the episode to let you know how it's going for us. So, after this episode, head on over to our show notes page at thetonsustainableliving.com/shownotes. All right, now back to the episode.
I think there's something to be said for, you know, always having some sort of like growth in your life. I'm trying to think now how to phrase this. You are enough just existing, not doing anything. But at the same time, yeah. I know for me, I know I reference the minimalists a lot, but one of the things they say a lot is that, you know, happiness isn't something you kind of achieve or strive for. It's like the byproduct of just living like a meaningful life. And one of the aspects of that, you know, it's your health and relationships, but it's some sort of growth.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like I reflect on that kind of throughout the year. Like if there's something I'm struggling with or want to be better at, whether it's learning a skill or prioritizing, you know, rest, which is something I'm generally pretty good at. as I sit here in the middle of the day, in my slippers, I forget where I was going with that. What were we talking about?
Like growth as being a necessary part of like building happiness.
Yeah. But I think maybe the difference is, yeah, where that drive comes from, if it's an external or internal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that comes back to the kind of thing about values and stuff that's really hard, like who you are as a person, like what's in alignment with what you want in your life.
Mm.
And it's kind of this like weird dual thing, I think, right? I was talking with a colleague or a friend when I was feeling pretty unsatisfied at work and, you know, a lot of stuff I wasn't really feeling great. And I think I'm someone who like, I kind of almost want to explode my life and just recreate it. Mm. That's my instinctive response. Not in like a terrible way. I'm not going to go crazy, but there's a part of me that's just like, boom, I just want to like change everything. Mm. And that's what's going to make me happy. And she kind of was saying to me, and you know, I definitely think change can help you and like making changes and sit, but she was also like, you know, in a way you have to be able to bring your like ideal day into where you are now. She was like, if you wrote your ideal Monday, like what would that look like? And how can you bring it into what you're doing now? Mm-hmm. But you're not just going to be able to like explode everything. And then like, it's just going to settle into your like ideal Monday. You have to like mm-hmm. work towards integrating that into like what you're doing at the moment,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I think isn't like I mean, I think it's good advice and I agree with a lot of it, but of course I'm not completely down the like whole, you know, I think there's that movement towards like you can control your thoughts. So you can think yourself like this way or that way. Like it's how you think about a situation that like impacts what it is to you. Mm-hmm. I think there's some of that which is helpful, but I think also, you know what, external circumstances do have a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in certain situations, there is a limit on, you know, you can't just think your way out of certain situations. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's kind of like gone off a little bit on a tangent. But I guess, yeah, it's like coming back to like making values that like making goals or intentions that aren't crazy far from where you are now, maybe. Mm. Or like, I don't know, like, help me out, Brandy. Like, what am I trying to say?
Well, I think the important thing before, you know, people get caught up in the doing or the changing, whatever it is to do the pausing and the reflecting and the resting and, sorry, now my cat is trying to eat my Christmas tree.
Do you need to move? And
I think he's still in curious mode. He's not an actual, like, I want to eat
damage
this
mode. He's pausing and reflecting.
There we go.
Before doing.
Is it something that I want to do right now? Maybe.
Does this look tasty to me? Is this aligned with my values as a cat?
No. Don't eat the flowers.
No. Go, Brandy, go.
Got him. But yeah, that being said, with, you know, all I've been going on about, I don't like, you know, the arbitrariness of New Year's resolutions, and it's just the when. And yeah, my struggle with goals in general. But I do, I mean, it goes off of why we started the podcast, to try to create a bit more accountability and making sustainability related changes, just doing better in general, doing what is in my control. I guess you could say that's an intention for 2022, to just think about what can I be doing more of. Am I doing the best I can? Do I have, you know, headspace and time to do more? And yeah, I think the answer is yes. Small things, which, yeah, like we're starting the podcast, I updated the one show notes with the action update I wrote to pre-mark, to the CEO, and to customer service. So yeah, that's a small thing, but it is a step in that direction. Yeah. And it's still 2021. And like I said, I'm starting those changes when I feel like I need, or when I feel like I want to make them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah, because I guess we've been talking a lot about goals in general. And not really talking about like how we link that to sustainability.
Well, I mean, just the definition of sustainability is just something that you can do over and over at like a certain, let me just read this definition that I already have pulled up. The ability to be maintained at a certain rate or level. And
yeah,
in terms of, I think when we say sustainability, sometimes we mean that, but often, and especially in this podcast, we mean environmental sustainability. Which is avoidance of the depletion of natural resources in order to maintain an ecological balance. So I think sustainability, not in environmental terms, is what people struggle with setting any new goal, resolution, habit.
Yeah.
Because people drop off. People sign up for gym memberships or I don't know, meal plans or whatever it is, and then they stop after a few weeks.
Yeah. I think one thing I heard about kind of goal, well, it wasn't necessarily about goal settings, but I did this like course and it was talking about like when we want to change things about ourselves or about our lives, or in terms of goal settings and in terms of setting like affirmations, there was something and I found it really helpful. It was like she did it, the person who I learned it from talked about it from a mountain. It wasn't her thing, but I think you can also look at it as like a ladder. And it's like sometimes we set goals or affirmations that are really far from what we truly believe or from what our lives look like. And so in a way, they're unattainable because they're so far from how things are now. Like it doesn't mean anything to us. You know, like me, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that feels like completely unattainable. Like I'm not going to fly in 2022. I mean, that's not a goal I would set. It's just coming to mind. But it just feels completely unattainable because I want to go home and visit family.
And restrictive.
But being like, I'm restrictive. It's not a good goal. This is like a bad example, but I'm going to stick
with it. But you could reframe that.
Yeah. But like, that's like the top of the mountain. And so like going like several steps down and be like, I'm going to try and only use public transport within the city I live in. Now that feels like a lot more achievable. And so sometimes we go for these like crazy lofty goals and we don't achieve or we don't reach anything that we want to because it's just so far away. It doesn't mean anything to our lives as they are. But setting a goal that's like a little bit above where we are now, or an intention or an affirmation or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think what you're really talking about is changing your mindset, because it's how you approach it. Yeah. It's not, I'm not going to fly. It's I'm going to focus on these other things more. So it's
right. Like the thing I was doing, it was like a course about like confidence. So it was a lot of mindset things. Mm-hmm. So it was more around things like being like, you know, instead of setting a thing, which is like, I am confident in every single situation in my life. Like that doesn't mean anything. If I say that about myself, I mean, that's pretty true. But like at the same time, like, you know, if you're going from a place of not feeling confident, if you say that about yourself, it doesn't mean anything. So then setting a goal, which is like, I'm going to be confident in my interactions with friends. That's like a different, that feels reasonable. So that, yeah, it was definitely like, I was kind of using that approach to like goal setting, which I definitely think you can, but I came from like a mindset.
Yeah. What is it? There's that SMART approach. I don't remember what it stands for. Was it small?
Specific.
Measurable.
Actionable. And time.
What's the R?
Constrained or timed. Oh, what's the R?
Reasonable? I'm just guessing. I can Google this right now.
I'm going to Google.
Might hear some keyboard clicks and
click, click.
What does SMART goals mean? Stand for
specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and anchored within a time frame.
Okay, what I'm seeing here is timely, but I like that anchored. Interesting. Yeah, I've never used that because I was like, that's too many things. That's too many steps to setting a goal. If I want to do something, right. I'm either going to do it because it is that important to me, or I'm not going to do it because it's not. Like, I do have like an all or nothing mentality when it comes to doing things, like the life changes I've made. I either, if I've been saying I'm going to do something for a while, the reason why I haven't done it is because I haven't prioritized it. It's not important to me. But if it seems like I need a sudden change or decision, it might seem sudden, but I just know that's what I need. Right. Or that's what I want to do. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to prioritize it.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing. And I think, I think working out what those are for ourselves is very important. And I think I would say that's something I'm less perhaps good at. I think like you said, I think you're pretty clear about what things are important to you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I think obviously I know what's important to me, but I think, I think that is kind of like that first step. Or reflecting.
Being aware of
it. You set this goal and you just haven't done anything. So like, what's holding you back? Is it something in specifically, or is it like, actually, maybe I want that goal to mean something to me, but it doesn't. So like, why am I setting that?
Yeah. Why are you setting it? What are you hoping to gain from it? And I like this idea of taking January to pause, rest, reflect, and not focus so much on the doing.
And do you think, so this is kind of like, so I just said like, okay, it doesn't mean anything to you. Do you think there are things that we should do even though they probably aren't like our highest priority, especially if we look at like environmental sustainability? There are probably things in that process that aren't really our ideal way of living.
It gets tricky with the word should.
Yeah.
In terms of saving the planet before we go over the temperature limit. Yes, collectively we should, if we want to, you know, save the planet. But then on an individual level, who am I to say you should do this or you should do that? So the planet would probably say, yes, you should do these things, but.
And how do you deal with that in yourself?
And the things that focus on doing what I can and not beating myself up over the little things. My food's wrapped in plastic.
But is that a little thing?
Seems like a little thing, but
yeah. No, I mean, I think it probably is, but it's a little thing on an individual level. On a collective level, it's not a little thing.
Yeah.
And that's that hard, you know, that we come back to.
And when it comes to, the things that will have the biggest impact on saving our planet, it's not the plastic. There was a book, was it Project Drawdown?
I
forget the name, but I'll definitely link it in the show notes. I skimmed it. It's a very dense book, but it goes through each thing. And I think some of the big things are, the like infrastructure, buildings, and the construction of all of that, and the environmental impact of maintaining those buildings, the materials, heating, cooling, all of those things. I think that was one of the top ones. Mm-hmm. What you eat, food waste. Are big things. So we touched on this plastic episode, I think. But it's easy to focus on the tangible things that are in front of you, it's in your kitchen and your fridge, because it can mess with the kind of the proportion of the actual problem. I think we said in that episode that like fishing nets are the biggest problem in terms of plastic in the ocean, not your plastic wrapped tofu or blueberries,
which
I would argue are better for the planet than steak. Package free. But anyway, go back and listen to that episode. But
and I guess like linking to that, something like which is going on right now in January, or will be in the future when you hear this episode, is something like Veganuary, which for those of you who don't know, I think it started in the UK. I don't know if it's
I think so too. States, I think I'd heard of it, but I think it's a UK based thing.
Yeah, and it's got pretty big in the UK. So it's basically in January, it's a challenge to go vegan for a month.
Mm.
I've done it once. I did it. And I think it had a longish impact, not like a crazy long, but I think I did Veganuary and then in my own kitchen, probably for the rest of probably for 6 or 7 months after, until I moved to Spain, actually. I like didn't buy any eggs. I like changed to buying like plant-based milk and yogurts and dairy. So actually it did have some kind of impact longer than the month. But yeah, I guess that's like a way of using that sort of like new beginnings and to sort of challenge someone, you know, to try something different. Like how do you think that fits in with what we've been talking about?
Well, I like that. I like that it's reframing the kind of, you know, setting a New Year's resolution for the whole year when, yeah, like you said, you might have just, you know, gone through a few family gatherings, eaten more than you normally do, and feel like you have to make this big pivot and then have it last for the whole year, which, yeah, is unattainable, unsustainable. But I like the idea of reframing it. No, just for this month, you're going to try this thing, go all in, see how you feel about it. And then maybe from that, you'll make smaller changes that you will keep, that you will maintain throughout the year or beyond just the year. And I've done things like that. I think I've mentioned before of just trying to go all in on something, going, you know, I'm not going to buy any plastic, not really setting a time, but just wanting to go all in on something to see how I feel about it. And then coming out of that with a few small things that I can keep up with. So I like that idea. I'm not going to do it just because it's January. And well, for this specific example, I'm already vegan, but I do like the idea of it. And I think that might be more sustainable than saying, no, I'm going to go vegan, you know, on January 1st. Because I think the impact of that, hopefully majority of people walk away from, of just cutting back, even if it's one day a week, the amount of people that do it, that is a big impact, I think. So
yeah,
I support it. Go vegan in January if you want to.
Yeah, I think I might. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see if the me then is doing it to me now. I don't know.
But you don't have to. You can have a vegan month any month of the year if it doesn't feel right to you.
Yeah.
That time.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. Yeah, you can.
So I think the biggest takeaway from this is before you do all the doing, do the pausing, the reflecting, and think about, I don't know, what is maybe one, if you feel like you need to change something or want to change something in your life, what is the one thing? Why do you want to change it? What do you hope to get from it? And how can you do that in a sustainable way, whether it's forming a new habit, a small one, or going all in, like something like Veganuary, to see how you feel about it before you decide, oh, I'm going to go vegan forever. Yeah, just pause for it. And you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, you're
enough just by existing.
And I think as well, it's like, I think the hard thing about goals is that, and maybe this is goes back to what we've been talking about, they're doing something like general rather than specific.
Mm.
Although that's actually the opposite of the SMART goals we were talking about. So,
but it's, I don't know, dependent it's on the person. Weird one,
but like, it depends on the person. But also, there is this like framing that like, if you achieve your goals, you're a success, and if you don't, you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like some quite strong emotions around this, like especially around like New Year's resolutions, being like, this is the new me, the new like, this is what I'm gonna do, and I think that can like also come, it can create quite like a bad headspace as well.
Yeah, I think I don't like the pressure to have or set goals in general. Like I said, I either have things I want to do or things I think I want to do, and the things I actually want to do are the things that get done. That's my goals. That's how I set goals, is by I just don't by not setting them. But I do see that some people need that. Some people, you know, the internal motivation is enough of saying, I want to do more of this thing or that thing. Other people, need to start a podcast to be more accountable in their sustainability efforts. or I don't know, people have like, let's be running buddies, or let's, I don't know, try to cook meals together. And that will be enough to, achieve whatever thing you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah. I think it all depends. There's no one way to to do it. There's no one way to make any changes.
Yeah.
Whether it's, yeah, in terms of the, you know, your impact on the environment or personal life, whatever it is, you do you, but you have to figure out you first.
This is kind of getting off into a big tangent, but I was like, do you think the process of setting goals or trying different things helps you figure out who you are?
I think it could.
Like,
could help you figure out your, yeah, whether you are someone who needs external motivation to achieve something.
And maybe that's like a good way to approach it. If you do decide to set goals, think of it as like an
experiment.
Like, yeah, I was going to say exploratory process, but I like
experiment
is fun.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Scientist, like discovering yourself.
It's the mindset thing. Like, yeah.
Okay, is this working for me? Like, oh, it didn't work for me. Like, why is that? It's not because I'm a failure, but there's something about it that just didn't click. What is that thing? So I think from the sound of it, neither of us are really going to be setting any lofty goals for 2022.
Nope. But I will leave resources for how you can set SMART goals and whatever goals and how to. I'll definitely think that Gretchen Rubin book because that was very eye-opening for me.
Okay. Yeah, I do.
She talks a lot about that internal or external kind of motivation for things.
Yeah. And like, I guess like how, you know, what kind of self-reflection works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, just removing the pressure of setting a goal or having to do
something.
Anything. But then, yeah, at the same time.
I mean, you kind of. Doing is important.
Yeah. Personal growth and if we want to, you know, save this planet.
Yeah.
But if you operate under, live your life just feeling overwhelmed by the pressure, then you're not going to get anywhere. So
yeah,
there's that gray area.
Or you might do a lot and just kind of end up feeling a bit shit about it.
Yeah.
Or turn down lots of things that you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. It's an interesting one.
Yep. We never said we had all the answers, guys.
Yeah, none at all. But yeah, if you're going to set a goal or you're not, please let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know what you're planning to do. And we'll have an Instagram.
Yeah, on Instagram. Yeah. But the new website, I don't know why I had this turned off on the other one, should have comments enabled. I think maybe I just forgot to enable them on the old one. But yeah, you can comment under each post for show notes and can have chats there or on Instagram.
Yeah, let us know.
That is something actually I would like to improve on in the new year, being more active on our Instagram account and my work account too. All the accounts. Social media is overwhelming.
Yeah, we have we've had a bit of a brainstorming session. So hopefully in the new year we'll be a little bit more active on Instagram. You'll see our beautiful faces more often. That's the plan. So yeah, do check it out. Do you want to tell us what our Instagram is, Brandy?
It is @thetonsustainableliving. You can also just go to our website, thetonsustainableliving.com, find the social links, hopefully if everything is working website wise.
If you want to come on that on an episode, like let us know. That would be really awesome. We'd love to have these conversations with more people.
Absolutely, yeah. There should be a contact form on the website and social media, all of the places. I think the email is linked in the social media and Instagram account as well. So you can reach us in multiple ways.
Yeah, so many ways. Communicate people. But yeah, all right. Although we're not setting goals, I just, hope everyone has... That 2022 brings you lots of good things in your life and lots of things you've hoped for and worked for and is a good year for all of us, however we define that, whatever way you like to define that. So welcome to 2022.
Yeah, we're here.
Here we are.
All right, guys. See you later.
Randy.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
If you made it to the end, we can only assume that you've enjoyed this episode.
Please consider sharing this with a friend or family member who could use some support on their sustainability journey.
And find us on Instagram at the Tea on Sustainable Living and let us know what you liked about the episode.
All right, give a shitters. See you later. Get it? See you later? As in, see you later? So funny.
Wise.